5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful or believing Abraham. All right. Let's get into this and see what it says. I just want to make sure that our internet viewers know that you have a website, Ben Tankard Minutes. Set. Okay. BenTankard.org. Okay. It just came to me by the Spirit, so somebody must be come from an order. Look out. Don't forget me. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Okay. All right. Now, let's look at this thing here. All right. Now, this that we're teaching on here is extremely important. Matter of fact, the message of the kingdom of God is the most important message to the church today and is needed for the church to deliver the human race. I mean, there are things coming in the earth right now that natural abilities and natural intellect really is very hard for it to do what needs to be done. You remember down in Egypt that famine was coming, and notice the smartness of Egypt could not deliver them from the famine. Nothing they could do. They had to get a man down there named Joseph, and Joseph had the blessing on his life. But now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So we're talking here about living in the supernatural. So let's go to the next scripture that we're using for today's teaching. And it's a subtitle. It's called One Thing is Needful. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Oh, this is good stuff, I'm telling you. Now, I'm going to finish on time, but let me take my time, okay? You know what I mean? If you just put aside everything that has nothing to do with what I'm teaching on right now. You know, right now, just hear this word. All right, look what it says here in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Praise God. So this is called One Thing is Needful. One thing. You know, as we're teaching on this series, we first start back and look at the fact that Adam operated in the supernatural because he was in the garden. The garden was a replica of heaven, by the way, Garden of Eden. And Adam was blessed in the garden. The Bible says God blessed them. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God said unto them, and what I told you that said unto them is not communicating. It's transferring power. Now, I'm saying that because you see the same thing happening in the scriptures. You see where God blessed Abraham. You see where God, when Abraham had Isaac, he gave Isaac all that he had, kind of a blessing. You'll see where Isaac blessed Jacob. You'll find that over in Genesis chapter 27. And Jacob, you know, stole the blessing from Esau. That's how powerful and how precious that blessing was, to the point that Esau wanted to kill him. And so now the blessing is on Jacob. And over in Genesis chapter 28, verse 1 through 4, my translation to you is, well, let's put it up there on the board, please. Genesis chapter 28, verse 1 through 4, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Rise and go to Penuel, to the house of Bethel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Keep going. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee what? Fruitful. Keep going. And multiply thee. No. I mean, go back. Yeah. Multiply thee, and that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Keep going. And give thee the blessing of who? Abraham. To thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a who? Stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So let me just put it in my own words. This blessing is going to cause you to inherit everything that strangers have. All right? Let me show you how powerful that blessing was on Jacob's life. Let's go to Genesis, please, and Genesis chapter 32. All right? And we're going to start reading at verse 9. Put it up there. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return into thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee well with thee. And I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. In other words, I left the house with nothing but a stick, because I was running from my brother because he was going to kill me. But now I've turned into two armies. Now this is what that blessing did for him wherever he went. Are you following me, saying? So if somebody's not quite sure that's what God is talking about, let's go on down and read at verse 13. He says this, and lodged there in the same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, ewes are female sheep, and 20 rams, 30 milk camels, those are milk camels, with their coats, 40 kine, those are cows, and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, those female donkeys, and 10 foals, which are male donkeys. So this is what he took. Now he's going to take this as a present to give to Esau to appease the anger that Esau had to kill him. Esau's been chasing him. And now this is considered a gift. And this gift of Esau, if you add it up, is 580. And if you look at this, one of the commentaries a man tells me says that this was a tithe of the tithe. The tithe he was going to take back to his dad. That's where the tithe goes back. But this was a tithe of the tithe. So if it was a tithe of the tithe, then the tithe must have been 5,800 livestock. Then if that was the tithe, then he must have had a total amount of livestock of 58,000 animals. That's the state of Alabama. And so my point to you is that This accumulation or amassing wealth was one of the things that the blessing does. Now, the blessing is so powerful until that same blessing now is on Joseph. And Joseph goes down to Egypt and they sent him, he came down there as a slave. But this blessing goes wherever you go, it turns ruined places into gardens, and the blessing turns chaos into order. So they even put him in jail and he ordered the jailhouse. The next thing you know, Pharaoh has a dream, can't interpret it. So now they call on Joseph. Joseph rises up with the blessing. Say the blessing. Yes. So now you have to understand that God places an anointing or blessing on your life, and there are problems that you have been anointed to solve. And that whatever problems you've been created to solve amounts to your kingdom assignment. So you have been born to solve somebody's problem. And I'm saying that that blessing is on your life. Now, what does he say about that blessing? He said, God blessed them and said, be what? Fruitful, keep going, multiply, keep going, and replenish the earth. Replenish means to perpetually renew and supply this earth. So what was the blessing supposed to do? It's supposed to continue the work of creation. You see, Adam had the blessing, but inside of this particular geographic zone was the garden. But outside of that was undone. And so Adam's job was now to take the garden, step outside into ruined places and make them like the garden. I am convinced that when Adam finished the earth, he was gonna go to Mars and make that. Somebody said, you can't even breathe on Mars. I know, cause the blessing ain't there yet. When the blessing comes in, it will shift atmosphere. When the blessing comes in, it will fix anything that's broke. When the, oh Lord, is this the right bunch I'm talking to? Now, Christ, put it up there, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Keep going. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the people that are listening to Bill Winston right now. All right, now let's circle back around here because there's a lot of pieces we need to get. So what did I do? I talked about Jacob. And here's Jacob now, he's getting to the end of his age. Now notice what happened. What happened was Jacob is appearing before Pharaoh. That's over in Genesis chapter 47. Go over there, please. One more time. Say, I'm blessed. Genesis chapter 47. See, he said that you have to receive this by faith. You have to believe this. What did I tell you? Genesis 47, all right? Look at Genesis 47, verse 5. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brother now come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and sent him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days and the years and the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And we went through this last time, but there's almost always more revelation for you. Now, so he's 130 years old, but obviously there's some reason why Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? Now he's then starting now to give a reason why he's looking as old as he is. But he said he's not yet attained to the age of his fathers, his father, meaning grandfather, his father and his grandfather. So he found out his father Isaac died at 180 years old, didn't we? Every time you act like you don't know the answer, I'm gonna stop where I am and I'm gonna get you to answer, because I need you to answer like you're excited. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 28. Put it up on the board. And the days of Isaac were 104 years. Got it? That's when he died. All right? Now, how old was his grandfather, Abraham, when he died? 175. Got it? Now, this is significant because Jacob aged beyond his chronological age. And there was a reason for some of this happening. In other words, because he looked like that, Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? Now, we said the reason why this was brought up as a subject is because Jacob left faith. And he now is operating without faith, without this covenant. And you know that because when a famine came in his land, Isaac sowed in a time of famine and got 100-fold. Jacob was supposed to do the same thing, because a famine can't stop the blessing. Lord have mercy. Look what it says here in Genesis now, chapter 37. And I'm just going to read this because I need to cover what I need to cover. Verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat, this is his brother's, and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent a coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he answered it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast had devoured him, and Joseph was without doubt rent in pieces. Notice, this he came to conclusion because he saw some evidence. We said there's no temptation taken you, put it up on the board please, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. We said this, there is no temptation taken you, chapter 10, yeah, verse 13. That's all right, you're doing a good job. Yeah, doing a good job. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is what? Faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. But look what it says here. Such as what? Common to man. That means that Satan always tempts you in the level of the flesh, meaning in the level of this three-dimensional world. He cannot tempt you with something you can't see. This has got to be a temptation that's got to come that your five physical senses will be able to detect it. That's Satan's realm. Say amen to that. Amen. All right? So, notice what he did. He deceived Jacob. Gave him a suggestion that his son was dead. What did Jacob do? Jacob left faith, meaning he left the word. The word of God, faith comes one way, by hearing and hearing the word of God. So he left the word of God and believe to circumstances over what God has said. Now, God blessed him. And when he blessed him, he blessed Abraham, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Just put it up there just as fast as I say it. Genesis 24 and verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things? All things. If you go in Deuteronomy, you'll see in Deuteronomy in chapter 7, you'll see that, glory to God. Let me just preach this here. I mean, let me just tell you what I got. If a person's blessed, they can't even be cursed with witchcraft. You'll remember that time Balaam and Balak, and Balak made the comment, whatever God has blessed, you can't curse. See? So the only way a curse can get to a blessed person's life is a blessed person authorizes a curse to come. And Satan's job is to take your authority and beat you over the head with it. That's what it means when it says that they took the thorns and pushed them down on Jesus' head. And once they pushed him on his head, they took the wreath that he had, they gave him the hole as a scepter, and they're mocking him now. And then they took it and beat him over the head with it. That's saying that if you don't know your authority, the devil will take it and beat you with it. And what people do is they open their mouth and give Satan entrance to their life, where Satan no longer could not get in because the hedge was up. Put it up there, Psalm chapter 39 and 1, please. Psalm 39 and 1. Look what it says. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle, while the what? Wicked one. The bridle is the word of God. You take and put a bit in a horse's mouth, and once you got that bit in his mouth, what you do to turn him is you pull that rein. And when you pull it, it pulls a bit and tightens up on it. And notice what the bit does. It put pressure on the horse's tongue. You'll see it sometime try to stick out because that bit is putting pressure. You take the word of God when you're up against the challenge of the devil and put a bit in your mouth. You take it. Now the Bible says in Proverbs 30, when you have a wrong thought, put your hand over your mouth, because the next thing Satan wants is for you to say it. I said the next thing he wants, when those 12 spies came back, 10 of them had an evil report. They had a report that was not God. Oh yeah, it was a fact that giants were in the land. It was a fact that the giants were much taller than them, and not a fact that they were warlike people and the walls of Jericho were very thick. That was a fact. But the truth is, God had given them the land. See, I know what the doctor said, but what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, man. I don't care what your wallet looks like right now. You've got to say what God said. He got away from faith and began to decree something God never said in him to the covenant of the covenant. And he starts saying that, and the next thing you know, faith left him, and now he is on his own, Jack. He is getting worn out. And I'm telling you, without the word of God, here's what he told Martha: you are cumbered about many things. The reason why is because you're not sitting up under me getting the word of God. Because if you get the word of God, it'll take the worry, the struggle, it'll take all of the worn out of your life. And that's for God's people. A trick of the devil is to wear you out. women get you working so hard that you come home at night, you can't please your husband no more, you so tired, you don't know what to do, for my married women, and don't know what to do, and so forth. Now hear what I'm saying. It's a trick of the devil. What you did is you left faith, and you went in your own strength, and it is wearing you out. I got news for you. Those days are over. Coming over here to Genesis 48. See what has happened? You've left the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God won't do that. It's a certain way you do things, and you gotta be receptive to the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is the wisdom that comes through the Holy Ghost. When you meditate, Claude Hemmers, I'm not even going to that, but just believe. Here's the woman. She said, "Broke." We were down at Lake and Pulaski in that little storefront church, and she broke in the door. Where's the pastor? I said, I'm the pastor. I need you to come and help me. I said, what's wrong? She said, the drug dealer's taking over my block. They're in there at 12 noon, and they don't leave till after midnight, 12 midnight. And we've terrorized. We can't send our kids out. Nothing. I said, sister, get in this circle. All right? Now, what do I need? I need the wisdom. Now, remember what it said. The kingdom of God rules over everything. That one of the reasons God sends me into a ruined place is to make it like a garden. That's one of the reasons I'm there. And wait a minute, there are problems that I have been designed to solve. Yes. Say amen to that. Yes. All right? So I said, get in this circle. We start praying. Spirit of God spoke to me. Said, take that bottle of oil and take that oil and then take it and bless it. Let her take it down to her street and pour it down the middle of the street. Now, notice what I did. Sister, God tell you, take this oil, we're going to bless it, you take it, pour it down the middle of the street. Okay. Now, notice, when you're desperate, you don't fight back. You know what I mean? You take what you can. Now, notice what he didn't tell me. Call the police department. Have a meeting with the police. Get to all the neighbors. Let's set a block up. Let's get everything ready now. We're going to sit down, so forth. That might have been fine, but I'm telling you where you're going now. You're getting to a place where the problems of that we have today are not going to be able to be solved on the same level they were created. You're getting problems today and problems of nations being defaulted, such as Portugal and Greece and so forth. Folks, you're just beginning to see something that's coming that can't no man stop, but the Bible says the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're gonna have God's people so rich they could pay off the debt of a nation. Just like that, pay it off. I'm preaching now, betting you said amen. Now, thank God for education, but you don't have to be. Listen, David came to the front line. The first thing Saul told him, wait a minute. How are you, a young lad, going to fight against this man? This man has been trained in war from his youth. David said, let me at him. You see, once you hook up with God, he goes around the system. He will take a man. Come on, you have to help me. He took Gideon. Gideon said, wait a minute, he's making excuses now. And Lord, I don't know how I can be used. I'm the least in my father's house. We're the poorest family in the tribe. We haven't had much education. God said, wait a minute, I call you a mighty man of valor. I'm saying stop making excuses. I know you've been married 6 times. That's just 5 dumb mistakes you made. Now make this one work, praise God. Because if he called you, he has anointed you, and you will bring forth. Look what it says. Put it up there on the board. This is Genesis chapter 4. What did I tell you? 49 or whatever. 48 and 1. And Israel said, that ain't what I told you. That's 1. I said 48 and 1, not 21. Hold it. Let me just see. Praise God in heaven. 48 and 1, please. 48 and 1. All right. Look what it says. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now underline sick. All right. That sick does not mean that he's having kidney failure. That sick comes from a Hebrew word, C-H-A-L-A-H, which means worn out. You try to worry about all this stuff that's happening, and it will wear you out. It's designed to do it. Designed to take away your life. It's designed to make you age quickly. It's designed to make you look forward to retirement. Hear that word in there? Tired. And I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with retirement, but let it be your choice. Don't let it be the choice of the fact that somehow you work so hard, you're so tired, you can't make it anymore, so forth. Don't let that be the reason why you retire. Let it be retired. Did you want, hey, I'm ready to retire. You retired 45 if you want to, or 32. Say amen to that. My point to you is it's different. All right, now what happened? He left faith. All right, let's see what I'm talking about there. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 14. This is when, can I have a little more time with you here? Now I'm telling you some stuff. If you get what I'm telling, see, I'm breaking it down for you. The Bible says God can make it so plain that a fool cannot err. Come on now. So what is happening here? Here is in Numbers chapter 14. This is when Joshua and Caleb and all the 10 spies, the other 10 spies, they came back from spying out the land of Canaan. 10 of them had an evil report. They began to describe the situation as it was. But two of them had a good report. That was Joshua and Caleb. They said, hey, Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, said, hey, let us go up at once, possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. All right? Now, notice what happened. When the others heard the evil report from the majority, they began to weep all that night. Now, we're going to cover this next time. Because they meditated on it. They took it and began to think about it and worry about it. Worry is meditation in the negative. That's all it is. Because it's a law, meditation is. And I'll show you that powerful law. And so, can I keep going? So here now, glory to God. Now, what did I just tell you? Don't worry about a thing. Now, let me just make sure I say that. That's Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It said, think on these things. That's right. It said, be anxious for what? Nothing. That's 7, I think, 6 or 7. And but with all things, with prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God guard your heart and mind, so forth and so on. Now, hear my deal. Think on these things. What things? Whatsoever things are what? Good, pure, just. Now, don't leave out this word true. You're supposed to think on only what's true. And only what God said is true. The other may be a fact, but you can displace the fact with the truth. Because the word is powerful enough to fix anything that's broke. All right. Okay, so here's Jacob, and you can go to the next chapter and you can see Jacob called all his sons in there and recited to them their prophetic destinies. And then he gave up the ghost. 130. Got it? Now, wait a minute. He gave up the ghost. Now, this is what I want to get to you. The devil can't kill you. Not only can he not see, we've been taught that somehow God has his big pegboard in the sky. He said, well, I think I'll call old Dan up here today. Boop, pow, Dan hits the ground. The Lord took him. That's what everybody around said. Look in the Bible. Anybody the Lord took, he took alive. He took Elijah. Come on. he took, yeah. Now, wait a minute. Over in Deuteronomy 34, it says that Moses' eyes were not dim, neither his natural forces abated. Now, you can interpret that whichever way you want to interpret it. But I'm telling you right now what it's saying, that the man was in good shape. But if you go back to Deuteronomy 32, he told Moses this, go up to the mountain now and die. Moses went on up there and just gave up the ghost. Look at Jesus on the cross. Notice what he did. He gave up the what? Nobody killed him. God meant it be that when you get ready to go, you can go. Boy, that's total control. That's dominion right there. My point is, the Grim Reaper can't sneak in your house that night and just take your life out. And that's what we thought. You know, I was young. You used to look at these horror movies all the time. I had no business looking at them. And I'd look at I sit through the movie. I come at 8 and leave about 8 at night. I'd look, sit through 6 or 7 iterations of that. So I'd have meditated that wolf man all day long. And now it's time to go to sleep at night. My brother and I in the same room had bunk beds. He was in the top, I was in the bottom. Oh no, he was in the bottom, I was in the top. And then he waited till Daddy turned the light out. He waited about 5 minutes. He'd say this. Ooh. Now, when he said that, I knew someone was coming to get me. And I knew it was him. I said, you can't scare me. You can't scare me. And I'm crying now. You can't scare me. He keep it up. Man, pretty soon I just lose it. Daddy! Daddy come in there and beat both of us all over that place. At least I got his mouth shut up. I'm not going to sleep. But my point to you, you meditate on this stuff, the news is on. You meditate on this, why? Because it's right at you, it's television. It's somebody else telling you their vision. And you look at it enough, and then the next thing you know, you're looking at all these days of our lives and how the world yearns and all this mess. And then you start thinking about your husband. I bet you he got a woman out there on that milk route. You follow what I'm saying? Folks, it's enough garbage out there to fill anything. You need to turn that mess off. Turn to my broadcast. Let me tell you what the truth is, and the truth will make you free. And you can't afford to look at all them soap operas and stuff. There ain't nothing on there but the adultery and mess and so forth. You got no business. I'm talking to you. You don't need it. You better. I don't care if you got mad. I'm talking to you right now. You got no business looking at that as a Christian. There ain't nothing healthy in that. I'm not coming against the folk. They can show whatever they want, but you got a choice. You can't fill yourself with that, because if you sit at that, if somebody sits at that internet and look at porno long enough, folks, that thing will get into their heart and control their thinking and their body. They'll wonder why they can't help doing this. You can't help it because you have meditated it and it has changed your belief. And you need to turn the thing off and ask God for deliverance. And he will deliver you. Say amen to that. See, don't ever think you've gone too far for God. Because let me tell you, if you still got breath in your body, you can be delivered. If you still got a mind to hear God, God will take care of you. Say amen, somebody. Now that came out of the Holy Ghost right there. So that was with somebody. You can't look at it, can't play with it. That's what happened to Samson. Samson kept playing with it. He had this woman named Delilah, knew he ain't had no business with this Philistine woman. I know she looked good.
Whoa.
You know, I mean, that Satan ain't gonna throw you something don't look good, man. Say amen. You gonna tell girlfriend, oh, he ain't no good. He sure is fine though, ain't he? but listen. You got to resist the devil and he will flee from you. You've got an assignment in this earth and you will fill your assignment. You will fulfill it. Amen. Say amen to that. There's good preaching right here. I don't know whether a whole lot of preachers talking like this. Because, we want to be popular. We want people to love us and everything. But I got to have Jesus to love me first. Say amen. Y'all love me? Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Let me wrap this up here. I'm completely out of time. The stop sign has gone off and everything. It's... Everything. I got a stop sign back there that says stop, 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 stop. I preach right through that. Now, listen, Paul said, I buffet my body. Amen. That word is not buffet. That word is buffet. Okay. All right, let me finish this up. Hey! Remember, I don't preach this unless the Holy Ghost light leads me into it. Okay. All right, so let me just finish by saying this. Notice what happened. In Numbers, what, come on over there with me. I'm almost done. Listen, don't get offended at what I said. Don't get offended at what I said. You know, some people are looking for a reason to get offended. You shouldn't get offended by that. This will help whether you're saved or unsaved. Because that stuff will lead you into a lifestyle that you don't want to go. I'm telling you, Samson messed around with that woman. Next thing you know, she kept after him. Next thing you know, he told a secret. He told the secret of where his strength was and told her, and she called them Philistines in. They tied him up and she called out again, the Philistines are on you, Samson. He thought he had his strength, but he had lost it because he had formed an unholy alliance. And that thing wiped the anointing right off of his life. Now he's got nothing to stand. And the first thing they did is poke out his eyes. They put his eyes out and look at the scriptures. They made him a laughingstock to the world. And I'm telling you, it's time for the church no longer to be a laughingstock to the world. It's time for us to stop begging the government for trying to get us a little money so we can build something. We supposed to be financing the government. I know some people don't quite like what I'm saying. You know why? Because I don't have a slave mentality. And a slave, come on now, you can't manipulate me. But I'm gonna stop giving. Stop giving. Do something else with it. Because God is my source. He's my only source. But you see, I'm telling you, so many pastors have been manipulated in this thing. And they think if they say something a little unpopular, that people, well, I ain't coming back. I ain't did that. Hey, somebody else got that seat? Somebody, listen. I'm not trying to build something for Bill Winston. I'm expanding the kingdom of God. It's not me. I'm trying to get you to him. Think about it. You didn't call me. Where were you when I couldn't fix the bottom of my shoe? Where were you when I had to go to the laundromat to get my clothes washed and I didn't have enough money to get those clothes washed for my family? Where were you when I didn't have a place to stay? Where were you when my children needed some tennis shoes? Where were you when I was looking for a place to preach? Where were you? When that guy one time took me downtown and he told me, and I was preaching and I spoke, I said, you can speak to these bills and they'll be cut off. He said, well, can you come downtown? He's a lawyer. Can you come downtown and come to my office and speak? I can stack them up on the table. I said, sure can. Came down, and by the way, spoke to him. Not only did it reverse, but it reversed to the fact that he ended up with 20 Burger Kings. And I'm saying that my point to you, I'd use the supernatural. But he took me down the street after I spoke to him. He said something. He said, come on, let me buy you lunch. I'm telling you, I was broke. I'm trying to do the Lord's will in this city. And nobody knew me. Nobody seemed to give. I'm confessing the word. I'm believing God. And he said something. He passed by a store, and it had tennis shoes in it. And I wasn't able to buy my son David no shoes. I wasn't able to buy him no shoes. And it hurt me because I came from a place where I was well off. But when those shoes, he said, do you mind? He said, do your son need some shoes? I said, yes, sir. He sure does. I said, but don't do it. He said, no, let me buy him some shoes. What size did he wear? And I was able to buy my son some tennis shoes. I'm telling you, where were you when I was looking? But I believe God. I didn't stop believing in him. I stayed with him. Things didn't look good, but I stayed right there. I believe God. I believe that he's going to deliver me. I believe he's going to bring me out. And I'm telling you, don't stop believing in God. God's going to bring you out. It may look a little tough right now, but the God that I serve, he will deliver you. Jesus. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Woo-wee. Glory to God. Take your seats. Take your seats.